What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 121 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for another awesome show. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple things. One of the big, if you've been like on the internet recently, then you know what a lot of this is. But because I think it's just Twitter and maybe Instagram, I think. But I think Twitter definitely, and Twitter has always been a mess, but I feel like it's extra now for various reasons, whether it's political or Elon or whatever the case may be. But it seems to like people have gotten to the point where there's no wiggle room for anything. Like there's never been nuance on Twitter. Just throw it out there.
Yeah.
But right now it's like, even like you can ask a question. Like you could be like, hey, so I heard you like apples. Have you ever tried green apples? And they'll say something like, of course I have, you idiot. Like, why did you blah, blah? And what do you have against oranges? Nah, like, they just lose their minds. And I'm like, wow. Like, what is happening? What is going on in the world that you are that angry?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why you could be that angry, but typically it's not that. It's either you being a troll or you just think that this is how people should talk on the internet. There's this weird thing where people are like, oh, it's just the internet. That's how people are. I'm like, yeah, but you don't have to be.
You don't have to be. It's an act of choice.
You know what I mean? It's like, what is wrong with you? And so this kind of brings us to our first topic that I want to kind of talk about. And that's the whole, Teyana Taylor winning her first Golden Globe award for one battle after another. People were upset, and I'm trying to figure out why, because that film. So let me jump into the criticism of that particular thing first. They were like, her character is over-sexualized in the film, and they were like, they didn't like how she was being portrayed, like a black woman being portrayed, which brings us to the overall topic of how should black people act in films. And we kind of spoke about this a little bit eons ago when we talked about blaxploitation and how things evolved from there, where you have a subset of people who are like, back in the day, who are like, blaxploitation films are great because at least we are on television, we're in theaters, and we get to control the narrative, even though we have to go to the extremes to actually be put on the screen. It's not blackface. And then you had another group of people who are like, yeah, but it's harmful. It's all stereotypes all the time. And these things kind of had to like balance out in some sort of fashion. It wasn't Amos and Andy, but it was still kind of harmful in certain ways. And I get those two arguments, and they're actually both very valid. And then you fast forward to, you know, years from then, and you get the concept of, well, the movies that are greenlit are, you know, slave films, or, you know, if you get typecast, you're playing a drug dealer, and that's all black people can be is drug dealers, and et cetera, et cetera. And so we had to push against that. You had like, you know, the Cosby Show, we had the Rock Show, we had the Fresh Prince, where you can see positive, you know, black people on TV, and to counterbalance these are the only roles you guys are going to get type stuff. Right. And this, I know I'm kind of, you know, simplifying it a bit, but I'm trying to get you guys up to, you know, caught up to speed, so to speak. And so we come to this one, and, you know, in the film, I'm not going to spoil it, but she is very hypersexualized, and she's using it as a weapon. It's partially part of her character, because people were saying, like, in defense was like, you know, she was using it because the person that she had, you know, that was trying to control her, she was using it to control them. And I would argue that even before then, she was over-sexualized because of how she was with her partner at the time, right? None of that actually mattered to me when I was watching the film, because I thought the film was mid anyways. I thought that the script was bad, very bad. It got to the point where I was tweeting while watching. I paused it. I didn't watch it in theater. I paused it. And I was like, this is a joke, right? Because I say that because it was acclaimed, like all this, like, oh, it's the best movie of the year or whatever. And I was like, no, Sinners exist. So what?
Right.
But yeah, so I was like, this is interesting. Like, people like this? Like, I was like, please tell me this gets better. And it does to a degree. And I think that's partially because you have some amazing actors in this film. You have a really, really good director. There's going to be magic that happens. So there's actually a large portion of the film that's just amazing before it gets back to Midtown. And so I do understand that people will like it in parts, but the beginning parts, and this is the part that we're talking about mostly, was just bad, but it wasn't because of that. I think that Teyana Taylor did a great job for what she was given. And I think that we are allowed to portray that the whole problem with the roles that we were given is that we couldn't choose. It was kind of like, this was hot in Hollywood. You gotta be a drug dealer. This was hot in Hollywood. If you weren't Denzel, or if it wasn't a Spike Lee flick where we could actually kind of determine how we want to look,
right,
it's kind of like you had to be a certain way. There was a couple people, and there's that whole myth of there's going to be one successful Black person at a time. So you had the Wesley Snipes era, you had the Will Smith era and stuff like that. But in terms of just how we want to look, it kind of came down to Black directors, to where we would kind of get that wiggle room, right? So now we get to the point where we can kind of do anything and people are upset. A lot of it is coming from people who are younger, who might not know any of that history. Mm-hmm. And some of it might be coming from just the idea of how it looked, because it doesn't look good, but that's kind of the point. Like, it's not supposed to be a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And I think people are missing that. Like, showing a negative thing in a film doesn't mean you are championing that negative thing. And I think people are kind of like misconstruing that, whatever. But regardless of how you feel about it, the conversation online is toxic. It is like, I was going to like dip my toe in. I was like, nah, you know what? I might get my leg ripped off. So let me not do that. And let me go do a safe space, this podcast.
Right.
Where I could kind of express myself in a manner that is a little bit more healthy. So I wanted to, you know, ask you, Tess, you know, being a Black woman, and then also just the idea of this notion of like, what is or isn't acceptable? Because I do think there is a line in terms of how we are portrayed. Like, for instance, this will help everyone. If you've seen the Wayans show, right? The Wayans Brothers show, there's a part of the show where Marlon's character is going to do advertisement. Like, he's someone found him and was like, oh, you look handsome or whatever, and you're funny. We're going to put you in commercials. And the first commercials he was in were fine. They were stereotypical, but they were fine. Mm-hmm. And then there was another commercial that he did towards the end where, like, his grandpa and everything were saying, like, or Pops was saying, like, hey, man, I think they're, like, using you. Like this is on some Sambo, blackface, like, just really coonery type stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nah, we're good. You know, we're getting paid well and everything's cool. And it was, like, a malt liquor commercial. And it was, they were doing the most, the absolute most. And it was over the top to be funny, too. But it was disgusting to the point where they removed the laugh tracks. There's no laugh tracks when it's happening. Because they don't want you to think it's funny.
Yeah.
They want you to be like, this is bad. And so I do think there is an area where we should not go to. Outside of that, I think you should be able to be, if you want to be portray a doctor, a scientist, a drug dealer, a vampire, like whatever you want to be, I think you can. That's the whole idea of acting. I don't think it has to necessarily always be a racial thing, even when it is a racial thing, if that makes sense.
I hear you. I agree to that. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say I have to have seen it to chime in, because I didn't. I haven't watched it yet because I haven't watched anything. Because I don't do anything but go work and take care of my dog. And I don't even know
for valid reasons.
Valid reasons. I mean, am I taking care of her? She's constantly licking a pillow as if that is the only activity she's ever learned to do. Poor child. But I guess when it comes to people's opinions of over-sexualization of Black females, I mean, I understand that. I understand everything that it means. And I think that kind of goes back to Halle Berry winning a Oscar for her role in Monsters Ball.
Right.
You know, and I mean, if we go back to that, of course, I'm happy Halle won an Oscar. I never thought that was her best work. And I just thought it was so interesting that got her that role, which was just so traumatic. I just think everything in that movie was just traumatic, but I don't think that trauma is what drives your acting ability. I'm just saying everybody has their what is it called? Like what they're really good at.
Right.
And that wasn't the best. You know, that wasn't right. That wasn't the best one. But again, we also have to remember the Oscars are not about somebody doing their best work. They're about, was it greater than the other people in the category that people voted for because exactly. they actually watched the films. I mean, we found out that the Academy doesn't have the voting body, majority of the voting body doesn't even watch the films.
Yeah, they don't have to watch all of them.
Yeah, it's like a popularity contest at that point, or they just ask somebody else. So, by the way, I haven't been able to watch 27 movies. So, you tell me what you think, and then I will be like, "Oh my God, those are great points," and I'm just going to vote the way you vote, type thing or whatever. I don't know. I could be wrong, but
it's telling. It's telling. You know, yeah. And I also agree with what you were saying in terms of the competition at that year. Like,
yeah.
You had a better year, but the competition was extremely stiff.
Yeah.
Versus this year, not as much, but you still did solid. So we put, yeah. You know, you got in there.
Yeah.
And then also the age of the people who are voting.
Right.
We've seen that with the Grammys. Like, when the younger people got in, things were righted a little bit, if you will.
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... At the same time, though, I don't necessarily think that it was the sexual part that kind of put mm-hmm. it over the top, maybe. I can't remember who was in the running that year, but I thought, she, even though the movie, I don't think the movie's great. I was like, yeah. I think she was the best part of it, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a great idea for us at this point in time in 2026 to really... put either limitations or whatnot on you know, how we as especially Black women should act. I wish that the world was equitous. Is that the word? Equitable enough where we didn't have to feel like we can't portray X role or we have to portray X role. And then it seemingly only to be recognized by these massive institutions when we do the same thing.
Right.
And that bothers, that's annoying, because why is it like that? Why is that the thing?
Facts. Yeah. And it's because I'm very much aware of, or have the understanding of how things manifest, Hollywood side, like, you know, this doesn't work until this works. This doesn't work until this works, or we're not allowed to do these things. Even just the categories, the fact that, and we're going to talk about Sinners in a little bit, but the mm-hmm. fact that when Sinners got nominated for their Oscars, how they tried to change the genre from horror to like mm-hmm. supernatural thriller or something to that effect, because they don't respect horror, and which mm-hmm. is silly. It's an art form. Like, what are you yeah. doing? But, and so like, I can understand in that sense of like, oh, we don't win unless we're et cetera, et cetera. And while there might be some truth to that, I also feel like, for instance, they were talking about, you know, Denzel Washington in Training Day. And I was like, he did win an award before that.
Yeah.
And not only that, but if you look at Training Day versus a few of the other roles that he had been in up until that point, it was a nice departure from what he usually plays. And I mm-hmm. think that's why it put him over the top, because mm-hmm. he's usually the hero. Even in Mo Better Blues, he's not a good guy at all,
yeah.
but he's still very much him, like a version of himself. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Training Day, I felt like this is not the Denzel I grew up with. This was, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? This was a different, seemingly different person on mm-hmm. screen. And I think that's what kind of helped. Plus it was a good movie. Like, I think that would kind of put him over, you know? So it's not just because like, oh, he had to be a crooked person before they gave him an award. I don't think we've been crooked before. We have plenty of films of us doing unsavory things and not winning awards for them, for that not to be some type of conspiracy. So
yeah,
no, but I do get it where the idea comes from. This also reminds me real quick of, there was talks about, and I'm not going to talk about the singer who brought this up because she's been getting enough flack as is, but she talked about how Pam on The Martin Show, how some of the jokes weren't, they were more colorist, if anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And while I don't think that's necessarily the case, I also don't think that the defense that we give for it is good enough. Mm-hmm. For instance, people will say like, well, you know, Martin joked with everybody and everybody got joked on. That's never flew with me, because just because you're offensive to everybody, like if you're
think about it.
If someone is dissing everyone's mother and no one else does something, but then they diss your mama, that's a problem. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, he also said something about his mom. Like, no, you're going to swing on him. At least from where I'm from. That's
right.
That's a note. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't understand that idea. And I think that the jokes that pertain to her being an animal with being a dark skinned woman was not in good taste. It just wasn't. And that gives some credence to the criticism that there was some coloristic stuff in play, especially with her counterpart being Gina, a light-skinned woman.
Right.
That being said, I can also still be like, I don't think that was the case, considering Pam was initially supposed to be an overweight woman and they had all these different jokes written. And a lot of the jokes that they came up with was done, it wasn't necessarily written. Like, they would joke with each other back and forth and be like, okay, we're going to keep these particular jokes or whatever. That's a lot of the reasons why you see Martin breaking character is because there's a joke that'll happen that wasn't scripted. And so I think two things can be true at the same time. And I think that we are allowed to criticize the things that we love. I do think you can criticize one after another and still recognize that Teyana Taylor did a great job and she's deserving of the Golden Globe. And that is the problem that I see on Twitter, is that we can't do that. We can't have two thoughts at the same time.
Yeah.
Everything has to be extremes. And even when we start to ask questions or to investigate why we feel the way we feel, all we get is toxicity. We get name calling and fights and all this other stuff, which is sad, because I think there's some good conversation to be had about this stuff amongst us. Anywho, moving on to our next topic. beneficial or like, you know, a celebratory topic is Sinners breaking Oscar records. They have been nominated for 16 Oscars. The last group of films to have this type of achievement was, I want to say, All About Eve, La La Land, and The Titanic, which all of them got 14. So they were the lead at one point, and Sinner beat all of them. Shout out to Sinners. And I think the most anyone's ever won was for Titanic, The Return of the King, and Ben-Hur, with 11 apiece. So there's a chance for them to break history again, which I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Not only because I think the fact that it's an hour type of film, and I like Ryan Coogler, but also because it's a horror film, and I think horror film gets snubbed all the time. There are really, really good performances in horror films that get looked over because of the genre. I don't think that should be a thing at all. I think the genre should just tell you what type of film you're looking at, but it should not tell you it shouldn't be some type of label on quality, because there are amazing action films. There are some action films like The Matrix that changed filmmaking.
Yeah.
There's some horror films like Psycho that changed filmmaking.
Yeah.
I think you ought to respect that. Same thing with sci-fi, with 2001 Space Odyssey changed filming. I don't think it's not me, but the people who are sitting up there voting are like, well, you know, I only respect if it's a drama. Like, that's stupid. Yeah. Okay.
It's
really, really dumb. But yeah, so they won, they got nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor in Leading Role, Best Actress in Supporting Role, Best Actor in Supporting Role, Original Screenplay, Casting, Production Design, Cinematography, Costume Design, Film Editing, Makeup and Hairstyle, shout out to them, Sound, Visual Effects, Original Score, and Original Song. Amazing. And I hope they get majority of these, if not all of them, because not only was Sinners a good film, I think it's deserving of it. I think it's deserving of all the nominations that they got. And I also feel like the only other film that will compete is one after another, and I think that film is completely mid. So I really am rooting for them, and for Ryan Coogler, because he did an amazing job, and I don't know him personally.
Right.
I hope to eventually interview him on this cast.
Yeah.
But what I can say, he seems very personable. He seems very like a cool person.
Yeah.
And the way he's gone about talking about the movie, how he gives everybody else credit, how he, you know, is so enamored by how the, you know, filmmaking of it all and theaters, and, you know, there's a certain vibe that I got for him versus, you know, Cameron when it came to the Avatar, like how he was talking, like there's a a level of humbleness that is is not that you have to be this way, but it's like you want this person to win more so, I would think. And I'm like Issa Rae, I'm voting for everything black. So
right.
That's just it. But what were your thoughts when you heard that, you know, Sinners broke Oscar records? Some people are saying this is the naysayers are saying this is a fix. Like the fix is in. Like we're gonna nominate them for a bunch of stuff and then they're not gonna win anything, as opposed to being like, we're gonna get a lot of people to watch, like a lot of our people to watch, but they're not actually gonna give them anything. So I was curious on what your thoughts were about that.
Well, I'm hoping that that's not the case. I wanna be hopeful.
Hopeful works.
I'm like, because my brain doesn't. Hopeful works, but my brain does not. I am so excited that this has happened. Anything positive that happens to Ryan is what's a win for us, but it's also just a F you to the cops that try to arrest him. It is.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to always go back to that. I'm going to always go back to how y'all treated a black man. Everybody in that damn establishment and all them cops who try to treat this man like he was a freaking criminal when he literally called the bank beforehand, told them he was coming to pick up the money, and they didn't do their job because they're stupid. Okay, so any wins for this man, besides the fact that it's a win for us, it is an F you to anybody who ever did it wrong.
Yes.
So that's number one. And then number two, speaking of Twitter and black Twitter and how they keep going after Variety.
Oh my God.
The massive amount of posts. It's like, Variety, you better not touch this. Variety, how about you sit down? Variety, nobody needs your opinion on this. They're like Variety writers when they see that Sinners is nominated. They're like, nope, we're not going to do this. We're not going to, let's just skip. Let's just go to the next article.
It's wild.
There's that. I'm totally happy and excited. I really wish that I had been able to watch this movie, because I haven't. Because again, like I said, I don't do anything except go to work and take care of my dog, who I clearly must have done something right, because she has now stopped licking the pillow. And she's now just sniffing and kind of, I would say she was looking at the pillow, but she's blind, so she's not. But, you know, I am so happy for everybody who's part of this movie. I'm happy for Michael B. Jordan. I'm just excited. I'm excited. And I'm excited because the horror films that have been coming out and have been getting critical acclaim and have been really, really good are featuring black actors and black directors. And that makes me really, really happy. Really, really happy. And I don't even care for the horror genre. Like, you and I talk about this all the time. Like, horror is not my, it's not my thing.
Right.
I'm not excited every time a new horror film comes out. Like, I'm not, oh my, I have to go see this. Because I'm not that big of a genre person anyway, but like, well, I shouldn't say that. That's not true. But horror is not my genre, but I do like a good horror movie if it's good. You know what I mean? Just like, just like anything. If it's a good movie, I'm going to want to see it.
Exceptions to the rule, right? Like like, I'm not a big like romantic comedy person, but there's a couple that I'm like, this is fire. You should go watch it.
You should go watch
it. Really, really freaking good. Love and Basketball isn't one of them. I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry.
It's not
sorry,
a good movie.
Sorry.
It's not a good film. It is.
Yeah. No.
It is. Let me take that back. Let me not say it's not a good movie. Let me tell you that the story is trash. And obviously a story makes up half of a movie.
Right.
Because that should not happen in anybody's life. You should not take scraps. Okay. Yeah. You can do better for yourselves, women, ladies. Okay. Yeah.
You should be mad at that.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. But I'm so happy and excited for them. And you know, I think that a lot of people have started to say in the past several years that the Academy doesn't matter to them.
Right.
You know, and but it obviously does still matter to people, and it still matters to the greater public. So this winning an Oscar is still a measurement. It's still a pinnacle.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, I think that people are missing, because this is, I know this kind of like parallels music, and this is why I bring this up, is because mm-hmm. people are, a lot of talk on the internet is like how much people sell, like mm-hmm. this album, your favorite artist isn't great because they didn't sell this many albums. And it's like, that's a thing that I think fans talking about is weird. But when it comes to the Oscars, it's a little different, because even just being nominated is a big win for that particular person, because now their pay goes up. Everything goes up with them.
Yeah.
You know, when they have the little like Academy Award nominated actress, blah, 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 but in front of a
exactly.
film, that's a big deal. Everything about them go up. Their career goes up to another level. They get called back for other scripts. They get to try different things when you have that type of acclaim. Like being a director for a film like this, because like we know that Ryan can do, he has so much leeway when it comes to Marvel. Mm-hmm. Like they were like, you know, work on Black Panther 3 whenever you freaking want. Like just do whatever you want.
Two successful movies on your spare time.
Exactly. Two successful movies. The first one hit over a billion. Like, do whatever you want. And then like with this, the WB you know, contract that he signed, where he actually gets the rights back to Sinners, it's like he was able to set that up. Even though it's not a new thing, he was able to set that up based on his work, what he's done prior.
Uh-huh.
And so the next thing he does, it's like, oh, now you are, you have all these accolades, you have more freedom. And then the fact uh-huh. that he branches that out, like his wife, I want to say his wife is part of the production company. Like she has her own company that helps to produce. And so the money goes back to them in two ways. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
The people, the person who does his music, I can't say that, I can't pronounce his name, I don't want to ruin it, but he has done the sound for all of his films, mm-hmm. for Black Panther, for, you know, this film, for the Fruitville or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Fruitville Station. Like he's done all of it. So he's brought everybody with him. And I think Michael B. Jordan has been in every film he's ever made.
I think so.
And so like he is, which is also another thing that I admire of him, is that he, the people that he rocks with, the people he was in school with, the people that his family, his friends, he brings them all with him,
mm-hmm.
and they all work very hard because they know they're working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get these amazing performances, you get these, you know, amazing musical score, you get these, you know, like just everything across the board is a combination of who he is as a talent, and then also what he does and how he makes people feel. And you, the results is Sinners, you know what I mean? And so that's another reason why I'm like, even if he wins nothing, the fact that they were nominated, this is Michael B. Jordan's first nomination. Like his first nomination.
Right. And he has been doing crazy stuff. The man has been doing everything. He's been in every movie.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot. And so the fact that this is his first one and is with his friend,
mm-hmm.
like that's huge. You know what I mean? And so I'm excited. I do hope they win. Like I said, I hope they win all of them, because that would be such an amazing night for Black folks.
Yeah.
And for them especially, it would be such, I don't think they are, because again, people are really, really, I'm not mad if you like the film. I am not one of those people who are, you know, you say you like something and I'm like, you must be quote unquote, you know, you can feel it whatever you want, because it's subjective. This is art that we're talking about.
Yeah.
What I will say is, and it's a fact, that one battle after another is not better than Sinners. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah,
it's not a fact. It's not a fact.
We don't have to argue on that.
All right. The last topic we want to talk about was the recent trailer for the Masters of the Universe film. New film. And I want to talk about this because of a couple of things. One, I think it's hilarious. We're not going to go over this too long, but the fact that people are looking at the part where it says he, him, and they're not seeing the joke in the fact that he's called
He-Man
is bananas to me. And I think that you all need to go out and touch grass.
Please.
Gravel, asphalt. You just need to be outside. I think you were behind your computer a little too much. What I will say beyond that, though, is that the trailer, I'm excited for He-Man, even though it's not hugely nostalgic for me, just because of how long it's been since a He-Man has been in the talk. Like, I know the Netflix show was really, really good. I enjoyed it. But outside of that and my old memories of the older film and the older cartoon show, it's not like Transformers where there was a new animated show like every year.
Right.
My nostalgia level is low, but I'm excited to see what they do with it. On the flip side, though, looking at the trailer, it looks like every other superhero something, like ensemble film. Even the color grading, I feel like, is just, I expected brightness, mm-hmm. bright colors, over-the-top shenanigans, this whole fish-out-of-water storyline to help you potentially explain his universe to people who don't know what He-Man is not, it's just not what I want mm-hmm. at all. I want, like, freaking James Gunn's Superman, where he starts the movie as Superman. He actually starts the movie already beaten up. Like,
yes.
I was thinking it was going to be like a flash forward, flash back type of situation. No, yeah. This is present time Superman being slapped around. Like, that was great. We didn't have to go through any origins like talking about. It was mainly like, we are here now because we know what it is.
Yeah.
I think the Masters of the Universe film, although they, you know, some explanation is needed, I don't think you need to have it where this person is just unaware or essentially don't know what happened over the last however many years, and we have to go back with him and figure it all out. I just don't want that as a story. I just don't. And it has a very much of a Guardians of the Galaxy. I think someone did a hyper cut of like,
they did
all those type of those films, right? And it's like, they even have the same pose at one point. And it doesn't help that Idris has already been in Suicide Squad and in this in a similar manner. Like, it feels very samey. I'm hoping it isn't.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it isn't. And I can say that at the very least, Skeletor looks amazing. I don't know why, you know, it's giving me Bad B vibes, but, you know, that's just what it is. Skeletor looks great.
Skeletor really does. He really does actually look great. And the thing for me, I think one of the issues with that for me, with Skeletor looking great, is like, I keep seeing that little cut where Skeletor goes, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Skeletor looks amazing and looks like, oh, okay, that's a villain. I should be scared of him. I was never scared of Skeletor in the show because Skeletor was so ridiculous. Ridiculous. There was nothing serious about this show. And maybe it was serious when I was five, you know, maybe there was seriousness to it when we were children and the stakes were high because we didn't know any better. We didn't understand the world. And it's like, if He-Man gets into a pickle, like, we're like, oh my God, He-Man, he's gonna, like, we don't know what's gonna happen. He's gonna fall into a volcano. He's gonna fall into the lava and die. Oh no. And as adults, we're like, first of all, not going to happen because then the movie would be over. But second of all, not going to happen because it's not. Because He-Man always wins. Da, 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 da. And I was potentially hoping, because again, I can't take it seriously and I don't think any of us should. I really, and maybe this has been done because it has. It has been done. I think that we know that it's been done. But where we have the type of films where we don't take the superheroes seriously and we laugh at them.
Right.
They're laughing a little bit at themselves too. Kind of a little bit like The Tick, which is
amazing. Yeah.
Love The Tick. Because one, like, the signature things about He-Man is his big square chin, you know, a dimple in his chin and the big biceps and everything, you know, just there's nothing you can take seriously about He-Man, especially if you are an adult. Again, when you're a child, and of course you're trying to like force masculinity down your throat and all these other things, you know, masculinity with a bare loincloth. Yeah, sure. But like, I feel like this should not be serious. And I'm not talking about a what is that word?
You're not saying that it should be competent, just not serious.
Right. Because it needs to, as a human adult, I can't be transported to this world.
Facts. Yeah.
Okay, this doesn't exist, and I want it to be as funny as humanly possible because it's like, I'm not going to believe you. I fear that we might end up with one of those situations that we did with Mortal Kombat, where they tried to tell us that the other realms exist and everybody was living in our world. And then they would go to the other realms to do their fighting and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, it's a lot of exposition and us having to believe that these other realms exist, and none of it makes any sense. I do not understand where Hiroyuki Sanada, love him, by the way, learned English in that period of time to only say, get over here. I'm still trying to figure this out. Still trying to understand it. Don't know why he's not saying it in Japanese. And I don't understand. I get it in the game. We all get it in the game. The game is in English. Okay.
Right.
But as this character was not speaking a lick of English when he was introduced, and then disappears from the movie and then shows back up again only to say, get over here, I am lost.
Like, yeah.
So no, there was no immersion. You've lost me on world building. And so in that respect, what I am seeing from the trailer is that you have this man or this person living this life, this, again, you said fish out of water, who feels different. And then as an adult or at some point in time realizes he's from another place and that now we need to go to that place. And that in and of itself to me has more of a serious connotation with jokes versus something that's just flat out silly. So that concerns me, because I feel like it would be better if it was just like, let's not take this seriously. This man is literally a size 56 suit. Okay. Let's talk about this. And you know, goes from being normally just walking around in his regular, I'm assuming, American life. And then all of a sudden is now walking around in a pair of underwear and some leather, you know, bearskin boots or something like that. And there's a sword. Right. there's a sword. I found your sword. Okay. Again, not clowning the movie. Haven't seen it. We've only seen the preview. And I'm just saying, you know, my kind of initial thought. I am hoping, because of course I want movies to be good. I don't just want them to be bad. I don't want something to be bad. Like, oh, I told you so. No, like, that's stupid. I want to be entertained in this world.
Right.
So I'm hoping that the film is good, but it is giving me Mortal Kombat vibes.
Yes.
And Mortal Kombat movies, especially the one that I just talked about, are objectively bad.
I have hope, because it's the director is Travis Knight, and he did the Bumblebee film, which was great. He had he has an eye for this sort of thing, and so I have some, you know, I feel like there's, I'm gonna watch it. It's just we can get that out there now. I am going to go see it, but I'm hoping it's more of what he does with films versus like how Minecraft was. And I know the Minecraft lovers out there, we had a whole deal with me saying it's not good, but it's just not a good film. And that's okay. It's all right. You guys had a great time, you know, but it's just not. And the same thing with Mortal Kombat. And also I want to put, like, be, you know, clear with this, because people, they hide behind this idea that it's silly. Mortal Kombat is silly. It's always been silly, you know, in the video games and everything. Cool. The silliness isn't the problem. What's the problem is I have to believe that there's some type of stake in whatever it is you're doing.
Exactly.
The original 1990 Mortal Kombat film, I could actually get on with that, because you built this up to where, oh, if Liu Kang dies, this is serious.
Yes.
And it felt that way with his brother dying in the beginning and all this other stuff. It felt there was some type of impact and I cared. It was still silly. It was still like goofy.
Yeah.
Christopher Lambert as Raiden, like, it's just silly.
It was very silly.
But they played it straight enough to where, like, I know this is silly, you know this is silly, but we still are entertained by what's happening. Mm-hmm. Versus the new Mortal Kombat, where it's played extremely straight outside of Kano, And there's this new character that they introduced that to try to help us to build the world, but right. everything takes place in another, takes place in our normal world. And it's like, it does the opposite of what you're trying to do, because now he's Complete. Being explained as if like just the basics of how this stuff works. And so you have to make it, instead of just being, you're like, right. oh, you have this, there's this stuff inside you that gives you magical powers. And, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's more silly now. Like it's
stupider.
No, because like in the original Mortal Kombat, they didn't explain how, they just said Sub-Zero can control ice. That's yeah. it. That's all you need to know. There was no explanation beyond that. Liu Kang shot one fireball the entire film, and there was no explanation. He just did it. With this, it's like, okay, so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to power up before. It's Dragon Ball Z. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just not, it didn't work for me. I'll just say that. And the only parts I cared about was when Sub-Zero and Scorpion were fighting. That's it.
Yeah,
everything else was whack.
That was literally the only part anybody actually cared about. Again, Hiroyuki Sanada can sell me sand
yes.
at a beach. Okay?
Yes.
Like, he could literally sell me oil if somebody said that they were going to fry me. Like, I love that man.
He's amazing. He's freaking amazing. And he brought a lot of... He brought a lot of life to the film.
Yeah.
You know, that was needed. It was Mortal Kombat, the exposition is what it was.
That's all
and,
it was.
You know, just a lot. And I'm not going to go off on it because we did a whole podcast talking about it. But that's what, that's the fear that I have with Masters of the Universe is that you can have, because I don't want people to think like when we say the things that we're saying that it has to be a certain way. It could be played seriously. It could be a big, you know, all for laughs. Both of these treatments could work. I don't think they both work hand in hand. I don't think that, or at least some of these people aren't good enough to do that, to make that work. I don't know about Travis Knight. We'll see. But like, there's a hand in hand that I just, they're missing each other if this goes this way. And then also, because superhero movies is a thing now, and we've had so many of them.
So many.
Even though I'm not fatigued, I'm pretty sure this is going to have a fatigueous, like, you know, it's in the realm of fatigue with superhero because it feels that way. It feels like another, like a spinoff of Guardians of the Galaxy. It feels like all you need is a if they have anybody who's plucky like the raccoon, it's over. It's it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's going to be Orko, but they haven't shown him yet. Mm. You know, like I'm. And then also the color grading, like it's, I don't know what happened in Hollywood where everything is like this grayish thing, like this sheen of gray that's all over everything. Mm-hmm. So glad Sinners doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Like, have y'all seen the cartoon? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Like,
and that is something to talk about because we had other conversations where we talked about one-to-ones. We had these conversations where we're like, take me to the world, immerse me so that I can feel that this makes sense. Like
right.
when we talk about using a particular medium, like we've talked about how it's like how some things work in comic books or some things work as a cartoon and some things
right.
work as live action. Like we've gone over these things a lot because it matters. And
right.
so when you have a certain type of story, there's a certain way to tell it. Or there, I shouldn't say there's a certain way. I don't want to tell anybody how they need to tell their stories, but there are certain ways that tell the story better. There's certain ways that relay it. It's the same thing as if you were sitting down with a group of friends and you were literally talking about the time you killed a bug. How are you going? Like, I killed a bug today. Great, wonderful. This is why nobody ever invites you out. Shut up.
Right.
Sit in that corner. You can't come out with us no more. Okay. Or you start off, you're like, guys, bro, remember my favorite pair of shoes, the one that I spent $400 on? Let me tell you why I can't wear it anymore. And you
right.
go into all this detail, how this shoe is amazing, and then how this evil little thing showed up, and you try to find everything in your presence to murder this beast, this intrusive beast, and all
right.
you could find is your favorite pair of Jimmy shoes, and you went to town, and that heel was you knew that 5-inch stiletto was a murderous device, and now it will never be worn again because it will forever be encased in plexiglass with a dead bug that's on its point. That, my friends, is a story by a girl with a concussion.
And honestly, like, think about, like, hilarity aside, it's it's inherently silly. It's about killing a bug. But the way you told it, it was like, I'm engrossed now. I'm like, okay, what happened to the shoe? Like, did you keep the shoe? Like, that's a lot of money to spend on a shoe. Like, what happened there? You know, like, that's, yeah, like, I'm just saying, like, there's a way of, and mind you, I'm not a director. Like, these people know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
But I feel like there's also, and it could be a studio thing. It might not even be the director. It could be, because He-Man, it took a long time to get He-Man off the ground. Like, this has been in the works for forever and a day. I remember there was rumors of, I think Brad Pitt was supposed to play He-Man at one point. Mm. Like, it was a whole thing. And so the fact that we are, like, the film is actually coming out this year, that's a plus. We got it off the ground, folks.
Yeah.
It's great. It's just, there's things that we've seen over and over and over, and the results are kind of similar. And when you invest in all this money, you gotta get the money back.
Yeah.
And again, there's been great, like, really good superhero films that haven't been all that great at the box office because people are fatigued on this concept. And Masters of the Universe is very close, because you're not even calling it He-Man, you're calling it Masters of the Universe. It sounds like a comic book already, even though it's based on a show, you know? And so in my head, I would be like, you know what? Let's make this stand out so much that it doesn't feel like a comic book movie. Let's make this stand out so it doesn't feel like the next DC film or the next Marvel film or whatever the case may be. And from this particular trailer, they have not done that.
Right.
They have not done that at all. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to checking it out when it drops later this year. We will definitely come back. We, you know, spin the block and talk about it when that happens. Probably me, because I'm gonna only want to be there.
I'm like, if I can find a way to watch it without me going, because, you know, people, I am not able to go to theaters.
Right,
I cannot leave my home and watch movies in a loud, dark area. It's not going to function. I will leave in a stretcher. So,
this might be something we have to do where we talk about it briefly, or I talk about it briefly, and then when we're able to rent it, we can watch it in parts, and then we will come back for a full type of review type situation a little bit later.
Or someone gives me the bootlegged version, which I'm not telling you guys that you should go commit crimes. What I'm saying is that if a crime happens and I end up with the fruits of said crime, is it really a crime?
I feel like that's saying the same thing.
Is it?
I really do. I feel like that's, that would be, because the fruits of the crime, that I would, you know, unless you got it from like a pawn shop, but this is all digital, so that's not really possible. True. Yeah, I think it's about the same.
Okay.
About the same.
Well, I mean, no, don't go out and commit crimes on my behalf, people, or just don't get caught.
On that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's episode. Shout out to everybody for rocking with us. If you've been listening this whole time on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell. If you're listening on Spotify, which we do have a few listeners over there, I saw.
Hey.
Shout out to y'all. Continue to subscribe. Add us to your RSS feeds. The people who are looking to watch or listen, but they don't want to, you know, they don't have Spotify for various reasons. We're also on Apple. We're also on Steezer. We're also on YouTube. YouTube Music. We're on a bunch of different places. So wherever, you know, if you go to Audio Boom, actually it's down in the description. If you go to Audio Boom, it has all the different links to all the different places you can listen to us. Click on one of them that suits you and subscribe, because we want to know what you think. We want to know, you know, what topics you want us to cover, you know, and stuff like that. And we just want you to listen, because I think we're dope and you should listen to us.
Yes.
It's circular reason, but it works. Just go with it. That is begging the question. This is a pet peeve of mine when people say begs the question instead of raise the question. Begging the question is circular reason. I'm sorry, that's my nerd moment for the week.
Hey.
But yes, feel free to follow. Like I said, we have a lot of cool stuff in the works for you. The YouTube is bumping, so yeah, we want to see you around, basically.
Yes, stick around. Come say hi to us. Talk to my dog sometimes. She likes it. Yep, that's it. Hey, everybody, please remember to be kind. Don't be a dick, okay?
Yes.
Don't be the person who puts someone's food in a bush. Don't be that person, guys. Don't be the asshole who questions a disabled person and says to their face, are you disabled? Don't do that, okay?
Yes.
Be kind. Be empathetic.
Yes, Uber.
Just be nice. That was Grubhub on both accounts.
Oh, it was Grubhub?
That was Grubhub on both accounts. Shame on you. Your driver asked me if I was disabled. I should have beat him with my cane and said, is that disabled enough for you? Now give me my food. Okay? This could have been a whole Family Guy moment. Anyway, I digress. Be kind. Don't be a dick. Wash your hands. Wash your faces. And your butts. Because some of y'all are still out here not doing that.
Yes.
Please. Please wash your butts. That's it for us. See y'all next time. Bye-bye.